Welcome back. In this lesson, we're getting deep into a very specific, jungle and old-school DNB move, taking the funky drummer break and giving the kick its own weight offset, so it hits like a real anchor instead of just floating inside the loop. This is one of those details that can completely change the attitude of a drum break. The difference is not just volume. It's feel. It's where the kick lands, how the body of the kick speaks against the transient, and how that low-end energy interacts with your bass line. In classic jungle, the break carries the rhythm, but the kick weight is what makes the whole thing feel intentional, heavy, and alive. So let's build this properly in Ableton Live 12, using stock tools and a sampling workflow that keeps the break human, while making it hit like a modern drum and bass weapon. Start by setting your project tempo somewhere around 170 to 174 BPM. That gives you the right energy for a classic jungle to modern DNB hybrid feel. Now drag the funky drummer break into an audio track and listen before you touch anything. This is important. Don't rush to quantize, don't rush to clean it up. Just hear where the kick naturally sits in the phrase, how much room it leaves before the snare, and whether it feels like the groove driver or just part of the texture. If the source is pretty clean, warp it in beats mode. If the transients are a little messy or the timing needs more stability, use Complex or Complex Pro. But either way, the first goal is not perfection. The first goal is to understand the break's personality. Now slice the break to a drum rack, so you can control the kick separately. Use transient slicing if you want maximum articulation, or 1/16 slicing if you want a tighter grid-based workflow. Once the rack is created, find the kick slice and name it clearly. Something like FD kick. If the kick has a nice low body, duplicate that pad and create a second one called FD kick weight. That second layer is where we'll shape the mass of the kick without destroying the original transient. This is the key idea in the lesson. Don't treat the kick as one single event. Split it mentally into two roles. One role is the click and attack. The other role is the body, the weight, the little bloom that makes it feel like something physically landed. Open the MIDI clip that triggers your sliced rack and look at the kick notes. Leave the original kick where the break naturally placed it. Then offset the weight layer by a tiny amount. Try starting with the weight layer 3 to 8 milliseconds later than the transient if you want a heavier, dragging feel. Or nudge it just a little earlier if you want more urgency and snap. Keep the move tiny. We're talking micro-timing, not sloppy timing. The reason this works is that the ear often perceives the transient and the body as separate events. If the body arrives just a hair after the kick feels bigger, more physical, more like it's blooming into the groove. That's exactly the kind of illusion that gives old-school jungle its swagger. If you want to get more advanced with it, duplicate the kick again and make a very low-velocity ghost weight layer. Put it just behind the main hit and process it lightly. That creates a subtle psychoacoustic thickness, like the kick is expanding rather than just getting louder. Now let's shape the weight layer with Ableton stock devices. On the FD kick weight chain, start with EQ8, then saturator, then drum bus or compressor depending on what tone you want. With EQ8, you can add a gentle boost somewhere around 65 to 90 Hz if the kick needs more thump, but only if that space is actually available. If your bass line is going to own the deep sub region, then don't fight it. Instead, trim a bit of mud around 180 to 250 Hz so the kick feels clearer and less boxy. That low-mid region is where a lot of the danger lives in this style. It's often not the sub itself that causes the problem, it's the overlap between kick body, bass harmonics, and break resonance. Then add saturator. Turn soft clip on and push the drive somewhere around 2 to 6 dB. This helps the kick translate on smaller speakers and gives it a denser, more physical edge without having to overboost the low end. If you use drum bus, keep it controlled. A little transient enhancement can be great, maybe 10 to 25%. A bit of drive is fine too. But be careful with boom. Boom can get huge fast, and in jungle it can turn into low-end fog if you're not disciplined. The goal is reinforcement, not a low-frequency mud bath. If the kick weight feels too long, shorten it with EQ and reduce bloom in the low mids. If it feels too short, don't just crank the bass. Add a touch more saturation and let the body speak a little more naturally. The original kick transient can stay cleaner. You might high-pass it gently around 30 to 40 Hz if needed, add a small presence boost around 2 to 4 kHz for beater definition, and keep it relatively dry. The point is contrast. Clean transient, heavier weight. That contrast is what makes the kick feel alive. Now don't flatten the whole break. Funky drummer lives in its ghost notes and swing phrasing. Those little in-between hits are what make the loop breathe. Keep the ghost hats, the little snare pickups, the tiny kick lead-ins. Don't over-quantize them out of existence. On the drum bus, Use glue compressor lightly, something like a 2:1 ratio, a MIRIT attack, auto release or a medium release, and only 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction. You want cohesion, not squeeze. If you crash the brake, you lose the human movement that makes it work in the first place. Now bring in a bass line so you can judge the kick in context. This is crucial. Never design the kick in a vacuum. For old school jungle, a simple operator sine sub works beautifully. For a darker roller vibe, a wavy-table reese with a low-pass filter can do the job. If you're using a sub, keep it mono and clean. Sidechain it gently to the kick if needed. If you're using a reese, low-pass it so it doesn't fight the hats and percussion, and shape its movement with filter automation or envelope modulation. The kick weight offset matters here, because it creates a pocket in time and frequency. If the body of the kick lands slightly later, the sub has room to peak and decay around it more cleanly. That's why this trick works so well in drum and bass. It creates separation without making the groove feel empty. Build a drum bus next. Group the drum elements and add subtle processing, maybe a small EQ cut in the low mid if the loop is cloudy, light glue compression, minimal soft clipping, and maybe a limiter only for safety. Not for loudness, just to catch peaks. Then check the whole thing in mono with utility. This is a really important reality check. If the kick weight collapses in mono, then it's relying too much on stereo tricks or too much mid-range masking. In this style, the weight has to survive the mono test. At this point, you should be hearing the loop as a groove, not just a sample edit. The kick should feel like it has its own landing zone. The bass should breathe around it. The ghost notes should still swing. If the result feels too polite, loosen something else. Maybe let a hat swing a little more. Maybe keep one bass entry slightly late. Maybe preserve a bit more human imperfection somewhere else, so the kick offset has something to push against. Now turn the loop into a phrase. Don't stop at one bar. Build it into a 4 or 8 bar section. In the first bars, keep things lighter. Let the break establish the vibe. Then bring in the full kick weight and bass interaction. Later, add a fill, a reverse cymbal, a snare cut, or a small kick mute to create tension going into the next section. For darker rollers, you can keep the kick weight offset consistent while the bass line answers in call and response phrasing. For jungle drops, you can strip the bass in the first bar and let the weighted kick lead the energy before the sub comes back in fully. That contrast is huge. It's one of the reasons old-school inspired arrangements still feel exciting today. Once the timing and processing feel right, resample the whole drum bus to audio. This is a big move. Printing the groove locks in the interaction between the microtiming, the saturation, the compression, and the ghost notes. Sometimes the loop only really feels right once it's audio. And audio makes it easier to do later edits like reverse hits, cutaways, or little fills before the next drop. You can keep both versions too. The MIDI version and the resampled audio version. That gives you flexibility. The MIDI version stays editable. The audio version gives you commitment and vibe. A good habit here is to make at least 3 flavors of the same break: a clean anchor version, a dirtier drop version, and an exaggerated impact version. Then you can use them for different sections of the track. Cleaner in the intro, dirtier in the drop, more aggressive in the second drop. If you want to push this even further, try alternating offset directions. One kick slightly late for drag, the next kick slightly early for urgency. That push-pull can make a one-bar loop feel like it's breathing. You can also split the kick into 3 parts: transient, low body, and dirt layer. Process each one separately, and blend them like a tiny drum system rather than one static sample. The big mindset shift here is this: separate feel from level. If the kick feels weak, don't automatically reach for gain. First try timing, then try decay, then try distortion character. The level might not be the real problem. Often the groove just needs a better landing zone. So the finished goal is a funky drummer-based loop that still sounds like a real human break, but now the kick has its own weight, its own timing, and its own place in the low end. It should feel like old-school jungle when you want it to, but it should also hold up in a modern dark DNB mix. For practice, try this. Load funky drummer, slice it to a drum rack, make a one-bar loop at 172 BPM, duplicate the kick into a weight layer, offset that layer by 3 to 8 milliseconds, process it with EQ8 and saturator, add a sine sub, jack it in mono, and then make a 4-bar phrase with one simple fill. Resample the result and compare the printed audio to the live MIDI version. That comparison is where the lesson really clicks. You'll hear how just a tiny kick offset, plus some careful low-end shaping, can completely change the emotional weight of the groove. And that's the move. Not just louder drums. Not just more bass. A kick that lands with purpose, a break that keeps its soul, and a groove that feels like it's ready to carry a proper jungle drop.